This is Michael Olivas, the Rock and Roll Law Professor, with the Law of Rock and Roll.
It's a legal matter, baby, a legal matter from now on.
Class number 40, For What It's Worth. Several years ago, I was sitting in a Montreal resort, having just finished a sauna. As I rehydrated in a terry cloth robe, a woman came up and asked me for my autograph. I obliged and we chatted a bit, whereupon she said, "Mr. Pavarotti, I always imagined you with an Italian accent." I countered, "I'm traveling incognito," in the best Italian accent I could muster. This doppelganger confusion, harmless and completely out of the blue, is a low-grade version of the legal doctrine of the right of publicity, which in most states will govern names, images, and likenesses. While all of us, Italian opera singers or not, have such a right, the most common legal disputes involve well-known and easily recognized persons. It is said that fame is fleeting, but longevity exacts interesting legal cases as individuals attempt to control their own existential persona, not wanting to be appropriated or misappropriated or cited without permission. Various examples of litigation have included many entertainers across cultural art forms, the Supremes, Bette Midler, Nancy Sinatra, Dustin Hoffman, The Fifth Dimension, Tom Waits, and even Johnny Carson in a case that involved his trademark tennis and golf swing language, "Here's Johnny," not by Jack Nicholson in The Shining, but in a case involving portable johns or toilets. The U.S. Supreme Court even upheld the right of publicity in a case involving the broadcasting rights to the human cannonball Hugo Zucchini and preserved the integrity of his 15-second act of being shot out of cannons at circuses. This is even less than the 15 minutes of fame promised to all of us by Andy Warhol. This legal protection is a product of state law, where more than 24 states have statutory recognition of a right of publicity, while over 36 states have a common law counterpart, revealing the patchwork of positive rights. The New York statute has governed that state's right to privacy for more than 100 years, and although it does not reach postmortem rights, which is where the real action is, as some of these states accord such a right after death for many decades, including California's 70 years and that of Indiana, where the rights vest for as much as 100 years, including reach-back provisions. As in so many other areas, the death of Michael Jackson has tested some of these legal provisions on the more narrow question of how to ascertain the actual value of the estate, such as is required for tax and probate purposes. When he died in 2009 at the age of 50, the King of Pop, who I now dub the King of Litigation, was overspending his extraordinary income stream and was in deep financial trouble due to his profligate lifestyle and stagnant music sales. In addition, his sordid legal troubles were not only expensive to defend, but had rendered him almost untouchable for commercial endorsements. Indeed, he was in such a deep hole that his estate lawyers estimated the value of his entire estate at less than $2,200. The IRS countered that the actual value of his name and likeness was more than $400 million. In other words, clarifying and timing the value of the estate have significant financial and legal implications. Some of the crucial information in this case will turn on the predicate of another Jackson legal matter from the unsuccessful wrongful death litigation by the Jackson family against his concert tour promotion company. His unfortunate death occurred just as the arc of his career was about to take an upward swing, so his prospects were likely good, but the exact photograph of his net worth will determine his actual hedonic value, which might have been lower, and so he would be liable for lower state taxes, if any. There will surely be dueling financial expertise on each side, and at least it is a respite from the dueling musicologists who figured so prominently in recent entertainment law. The IRS has never before claimed estate taxes on anyone's likeness, name, or image, so this will likely break new ground, one way or the other, if it goes to verdict. Expect a lot of invasions of privacy in this signature case as the parties sort out how much it was all worth.
There's something happening here.
This is Michael Olivas, your rock and roll law professor, Luciano Pavarotti's and Jimmy Smith's doppelganger with the Law of Rock and Roll on KANW, your NPR station in Albuquerque, New Mexico.